section86.com.
How y'all doing? Welcome back to the Bootlegger Sam Radio Show.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of Creative Tragedy.
It's the Hank and Chains Show.
Of It Burns on IP, the only podcast around that talks about real country music.
Welcome to the Kiwani Sports League.
Welcome to Vertebreaker, your weekly insight into the world of professional wrestling and pop culture.
Changing the world of podcasting.
After you get done jerking off, it kind of just looks like a little popsicle.
One show at a time.
Insomnia approved.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I've been trying to tell this guy for like fucking a year and a half.
Ladies and pervs, it's time to once again drop those drawers and bust out the KY. Bend over and take it like a pro. It's time for another episode of It Burns When I Pee.
God, that has got to be the most disturbing intro Blake has ever wrote.
You think that's bad? You should have heard what he wanted me to say.
Does he realize these intros are one of the reasons he can't get a date?
This guy is straight up disturbed.
What the heck are you guys doing? Trying to ruin my life and make me look like a friggin' idiot?
Old women need loving too, I guess.
Okay, I think this has all gone far now.
Put some south in your mouth, in your mouth, in your mouth. How about we put some south in your mouth, in your mouth, in your mouth. Put some south in your mouth.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah!
Who doesn't like kick-ass music and inappropriate adult humor? I mean, come on.
shiny new dream. But the devil crept up behind me and took off me. It just slipped through my fingers like a coin that gets tossed in.
Welcome, everyone, to episode number 29 of It Burns and I Pee, the P and the McBee. My name is Blake Clayton, and I am your host. And we just got done hearing It's Been So Long by Spilip Rayfield, and that's off their newest album, I'll Be Around. Welcome to the show. Usually this is where I introduce Norma Jean and Creepy Guy, but I'm flying solo for the second show in a row. Seems like Creepy Guy is MIA, and Norma Jean has got some family things going on, so want to let them know that we miss them both being on the show. And this is kind of a monumental show because it's the last episode of It Burns and IP at the current Get Your Hank On Studios. At the end of the month, we will be moving back in with Mom and Dad. Well, I want to talk about the show lineup. We've got music by the Meat Purveyors, the Hacksaw Boys, Missy Gossip and the Secret Keepers, and a special song from Lemon Demon, and that's for my sister Liz. And, of course, our featured guest, Chelsea McBee. We're going to have some fan feedback, a new PSA from It Burns and IP, and a two-part interview with Chelsea McBee. So I want to mention to everyone that GoDaddy.com is the new sponsor of Section 86. So I want to give a congratulations to Andy and for all his efforts. You want to check out section86.com. They have a new look. And you can also get episodes 1 through 16 of It Burns and IP there. So, well, without anybody to talk to, it's just little old me. So I'm not going to make you listen to me ramble too much. We're going to listen to the next song. It's called I'm Not Crying by the Meat Purveyors from their latest album, Come and Take It.
Crying 'cause it felt so good. I was just crying 'cause it felt so good.
Listen, folks, if you want to make an impact online, GoDaddy.com has what you need. .com names as low as $1.99. That's cheaper than a box of wine from Norma Jean. Plus, world-class hosting, fast and easy website builders, and much more. Plus, enter the code POD149 when you check out and save an additional 10% on your web hosting order. Get your piece of the internet on GoDaddy.com. Some restrictions may apply. See site for details. Welcome back to episode 29 of It Burns When I Pee. This is the segment two, and you just got done listening to Alabama Shamrock by the Hackensaw Boys. That's from their album Love What You Do. I want to give everybody the contact information as I light up yet another cigarette. You can email us at blake@ibwip.com. You can also call our dial-in number like Uncle Pee Wee did at 206-339-8419. It's a toll-free call, and you have about 2 minutes to leave a voicemail. So give it a call, give it a shout-out, and we'll play it on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/IBWIPCOM. And, of course, as always, our MySpace page, myspace.com/ItBurnsWhenIPee86. And on our MySpace page, you can click on the link to the It Burns When I Pee store. And we have brand new Musical South Mouth t-shirts. So go get your It Burns When I Pee Musical South Mouth t-shirt and support the show. Speaking of South Mouth, I got an email from Andy over at section86.com not too long ago. And he's like, hey, did you see the Domino's Pizza commercial where they use your phrase South Mouth? And so I checked it out. And so kind of took it and cut it up a little bit, and you heard a little bit of it on the intro, but it's good to see that corporate America is getting the It Burns When I Pee slang. Anyway, I want to remind everybody as well that we need more music. I'm kind of running low on the musical stash, so if you're a band or an artist out there and you want to have your music played, shoot me an email or a MySpace message. You can also, if you're a listener and you just have certain bands that I have never played that you'll want to hear, shoot them over to me. I'll send them a message and see if we can get some of their music. Well, we're going to go ahead now and listen to a song from our featured artist, Chelsea McBee. And it was awesome having Chelsea on the show and interviewing her. We had a lot of fun. It was kind of a different style of interview for me, I think. So we're going to go ahead and play a song from the album called Just a Girl. Then we're going to have the interview. So check out. This is Chelsea McBee and her song, Just a Girl.
Tempted my left hand despite my right. I still can read you your light day and night. I kiss your face and you just laugh. There's gotta be reasons why we cross this path. When I woke up, you'd already packed up to go.
Now I've got
folks, we just heard a song called Just a Girl, and it's by our featured artist and my new best friend in the whole world, Chelsea McBee. Chelsea, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much.
Why don't you first tell the folks kind of like where you're from and a little bit about you as a person.
All right, well, grew up in Shepherdstown, West Virginia, which is in the Eastern Panhandle. That's not the stereotypical Southern West Virginia hillbilly kind of scene, but it's right by Maryland and Virginia.
Oh, so there's no, like, Deliverance thing going on, like, all the time.
There's no Deliverance. We do have the Potomac River runs right by my house, but there's no Deliverance stuff.
All right. So how old were you when you first picked up the banjo, and kind of what made you decide to make that your instrument?
Well, I was 20, I guess, actually. It was about 4 years ago. And I was living with a friend in Martinsburg, West Virginia, and he played old-time banjo. And so just in hanging out with him and his friends and listening to that music, I was just really drawn to it. And he had his first banjo at the house as well as his new one, and so he let me use his old banjo, and I just picked it up and haven't put it down since then.
So what kind of drew you to bluegrass music? I mean,
it was actually the old-time tunes of West Virginia and Kentucky that I first really got into, and that's a little different sound than bluegrass. And so that was really it. There's just something about the simplicity of the tunes and the subject matter and the old-timers that really spoke to me. And then from there, once I started getting more comfortable with the instrument and with that style of music, then it started to branch out, and I started to write music, and then it started to take on a more bluegrassy, more rootsy kind of feel. And definitely the work that I did with the band, The Fox Hunt, is more string band bluegrass, and then my solo stuff has morphed into like a folk grass kind of thing.
And so on the album, which is entitled Don't Close Your Eyes, which I forgot to mention at the beginning, but you wrote all these songs except one. Where do you kind of draw your inspiration, and where do you get your ideas for your songs?
The stuff for this album was, it was all written for this album, and it was all written for the sound that I have with this band. And so a lot of the subject matter came from, I don't want to say that they were necessarily personal stories, because it would be like if I took a personal story but then made it a fictional story. That's kind of what they ended up being. And I definitely drew a lot of inspiration from the old-time tunes and listening to them and those storylines.
So, and like you mentioned, the Fox Hunt is your backup band in the album. How did you get hooked up with them and get them to work on the project?
Yeah, the fiddle player in the Fox Hunt, Ben Townsend, is actually the guy that I was living with in Martinsburg who taught me banjo.
Okay.
And so him and the other guys in the band, well, they would all come over to the house when they were first starting to write songs and work out some tunes and stuff. And so we've all been great friends since then. So when I decided that I did want to go ahead and make my first album, I knew that they were the only guys I would want to work with me on it. And so we hooked up. I played them the first couple of tunes I had written, and they were excited about it. And so we got together and hashed out the whole album and recorded it at the studio in Martinsburg.
So how long did it take you to kind of put the whole album together?
It took me, I'd say that I worked on the writing of it for a couple months, like maybe 2 months. And then once they learned the music, I mean, we spent, I guess, a day and a half recording, because they're all live recorded, so it was just a matter of, like, getting it done right and then sending it off to be mastered.
Sure. So, and when you said it was live recorded, so the whole band was playing at once, it wasn't track by track?
Right, yeah, oh. We were all just playing. We each had our own microphones, but we were all playing just same time.
Well, that's pretty cool because you don't get that a lot now with albums where, you know, usually it's track over track. And so that's really kind of a neat tidbit to know about the album. Well, the next song I want to play from the album is called Audrey Pearl. And it is one that you didn't write, but we kind of talked before we started recording. And I kind of have a fetish of songs where disgruntled lovers kill the other person. And so it was a song that I just had to put on the album. Can you kind of lead into it and kind of tell us where the song came from and, you know, what you feel about the song and why you decided to put it on the album?
Definitely. It's a good friend, Liz Wells, that wrote the song, and she's a writer. And I've been trying to get her to write songs for me for years so that I don't have to write songs anymore because it doesn't come easy to me. And she went through a really bad breakup. And so she said, okay, I finally have this song for you. It's a murder ballad. That's great. I'm so proud of you.
Yeah.
Thank you for writing this for me. And she showed me the lyrics. And it was just great. It's like... And I love that it's also written from a woman's perspective, and it's not just like some angry man that goes and kills some woman, which you hear more, I think.
Right.
So that's great, and I just liked it instantly, and it was easy to come up with the music to put behind it.
Awesome. Well, we'll be right back with some more from Chelsea, and this is from the new album, Don't Close Your Eyes, and the song is Audrey Pearl. We'll be right back.
Your hair gold in the streetlight.
right, folks. Again, that was Audrey Pearl, one of my favorite songs off the new album. And now, Chelsea, why don't you tell us a little bit about some of the musicians or artists that have kind of inspired you to kind of take the route you have so far in music?
Well, I grew up with maybe not the best influence for this kind of music, but my parents listened to a lot of like Chicago and the Eagles, and they were really into like pop country of the 90s, so I don't know that that was necessarily the best beginning for me. But then when I started to listen to my own stuff, I've always been a huge fan of Gillian Welch, and recently been listening to Kathleen Edwards, and just female musicians and that write their own stuff is really where I'm at right now and what I love. But I've also, you know, got on my music player, like I listen to the Drive-By Truckers and, you know, bands like that. And so I'd like to think that I have a wide range of people that influence me. Kind of just, I mean, anyone from Regina Spektor to Indigo Girls, I listen to a lot, and Ani DiFranco, I can't not mention them as influences too.
And it's one of those things where I think the more variety an artist has as their influences, the more wide open they are to trying different things and having, you know, more than just, you know, one set style. So that's cool. And, you know, and when you said you mentioned Chicago and the Eagles, they, you know, they kind of had that storytelling kind of music to it, you know, and that's what I really got from your album is each song does tell a story and, you know, from beginning to end, it's not just, you know, repetitive stuff. I mean, each song tells a full story. So I can see where that kind of comes from.
Yeah, great. Good.
Okay. So here's a really, really important question. If you could have one superpower, what would it be?
Golly. My first gut reaction to that is to be able to fly. But then I just feel like maybe all superheroes should just be already able to fly, because you can't really fight any serious crime by just being able to fly. So then I'd also want something pretty serious, like fireballs falling out of my hands or something like that, to really stop.
Yeah, I think
crime in its tracks.
Superheroes should come standard flying, and you'll take the fireballs, right?
Yeah.
That's it. Okay, yeah. That's good. Okay, so it was, you know, when you sent us the CD, you kind of put a little note in there, and you said that you really loved our phrase "South Mouth." And so, and I got a kick out of that because I was like, all right, somebody's actually paying attention. So what we want you to do during the interview here is we want you to use the phrase South Mouth in a sentence.
Okay. Let's see. South Mouth is always a great last minute gift idea.
Awesome. That's classic. Oh, now see, that's what I was looking for. All right. So if you yeah, a last minute gift idea, you're like, oh shit, what should I get him? Oh, well, South Mouth. Okay.
Oh yeah. Hey. Yeah. My friends love me. It's great.
And I'm sure that's a present that nobody has ever turned down.
No way.
All right.
Not yet. If it happens, I'll let you know.
Yeah, and then we'll go and kill that guy.
For real.
There you go. So if you weren't making music, what would you be doing as a hobby or as a living?
Well, since making music hasn't quite been able to pay all of my bills yet, hopefully soon it will be, but I also am a doula, which is kind of like a professional birth coach for pregnant ladies.
Wow.
Yeah, so I would definitely do that full time if I was not playing music.
And I guess with that, I have to, my mind begins to start to generate questions with that, but I guess I'll just keep it to one question, but how do you get into that field? I mean, what happens to where you apply for that job?
I'm just very passionate about women's health and women in general, I guess, and like their well-being. And I had always kind of been interested in just the concept of midwifery. And then one morning really woke up and just had it in my head, like, I didn't even know that the job really existed. I just knew that that's, like, I don't want to do the medical aspect. I want to be, like, the support kind of aspect.
Right.
And then started researching, and, this job exists, and this is what it's called. And so I, did the training, got certified, and now it's something that I love to do.
Well, that's awesome. And that was cool. I'm glad you shared that. And that's just something that caught me off guard, and I was like, that's cool. But so
it's so random.
There you go. Let's talk a little bit more about the album here at the end. Which song from the album means the most to you, and can you kind of explain why?
Yeah, in writing all the songs, they do each kind of tell a story, and so I guess the fictional story of an important part of my life was the title track, Don't Close Your Eyes, and it's very kind of a... It's a flirtatious kind of song, but it also is. It was a point where I was like kind of being very self-assertive and more confident. And so to be able to look back on, it's a personal reason, and to be able to look back on that and like see that as part of the album and as a whole piece of art is cool. And it means a lot to me to watch myself grow through my music and through my personal life.
Awesome. Well, before we play the song, I was going to give you a chance, and where can folks go to find out more about Chelsea McBee?
Sure. You can go to ChelseaMcBee.com, and I'm also on MySpace, MySpace.com/ChelseaMcBee. And then I'm also on Twitter, and that's just Chelsea McBee, too. And I think that's... ReverbNation.com is also someplace where my music is, and you could buy the album from CD Baby or iTunes, Amazon, all of those fun places to download music.
Awesome. And again, thank you very much for sending me the album, and thank you very much for being on the show.
Hey, thank you so much. This is a lot of fun.
And always remember your South Mouth, phrase and where it came from, and spread the word around West Virginia.
Absolutely.
All right, Chelsea, thank you again for being on the show. And this is the title track from her new album, and it's called Don't Close Your Eyes. Once again, that was Chelsea McBee with her song Don't Close Your Eyes, which is the title track off her album. Thank you again, Chelsea, for being on the show. We'll go ahead and do some fan feedback. I don't think I can really do it as well as Norma Jean does it because I don't have any drink in my hand. But I'll see if I can swing it. The first feedback we had was, nice to see you bastards back on the air. Great return show, and I'm looking forward to the mini-P. Keep it up. And that was from Paul. And then we have another one that says, nice show. Glad you guys are back. The power tool really added a nice touch to things. And that's from Birch. Yeah, and I apologize to everyone that I had the volume jacked up on that porn. And so all you could hear was the power tools, the sawzall. And you missed everything that was said by me and Norma Jean. So I do apologize for that. And we had one more. It was a MySpace message from a new friend, the Reverend. And he said, it's the best podcast ever. So I'm sure now that they've put two of them out without any co-hosts, they won't think that as well. But anyway, thank you very much, guys, for sending us the fan feedback. We're looking to get some Hank Sr. birthday voicemails to play for the next show. The next mini-P show is going to be the Hank Williams Sr. birthday special, which we try to do every year. So call our dial-in number and leave a happy birthday message for Hank so we can play it on the show. It'd be cool to have a bunch of them and play in between some of the songs. And, wow, I mean, without anybody here, I'm just flying through the show notes. So let's go ahead and listen to another song. And this song is Tears in a Whiskey Jar by Missy Gossip and the Secret Keepers. And it's a live cut. And I don't even know for sure. I think last I heard, the Missy Gossip and the Secret Keepers broke up, but they were a kick-ass band, and unfortunately, just like many of the bands and the music that we listen to, they kind of have to disband and because they're not making any money, and you know they're not getting the touring gigs, but Missy Gossip and the Secret Keepers are a kick-ass band, and I kind of wanted to pay homage to them, and
Pubic service announcement. Wait, what the hell is a pubic service announcement?
Cut, cut. Stop the tape. It says public, not pubic. Ugh. Okay, let's try it again. Cue the tape and go.
This is a public service announcement from It Burns When I Pee. Hey, you know, it would really be funnier to say pubic.
Can you just read it like I have it? Seriously, it's not rocket science here. Okay, let's pick it up from the next line. Cue tape and go.
1 out of every 10 fans of pop country are diagnosed with anal retardation each and every day. Wait, there ain't no such thing as anal retardation. Don't you mean mental retardation?
No, anal retardation. Just how it's written on the script.
Well, what the hell is it? It sounds gross.
It is gross. It's where your ass bleeds daily and you continually think about Kenny Chesney giving it to you up the ass. It also turns you gay.
Wow. That's terrible. You should tell people about that shit. That's just awful.
Come on, you damn hillbilly. Read the damn lines.
All right, man. Relax. This is a pubic service announcement from It Burns When I Pee. There is an epidemic that is spreading across our fine country. 1 out of every 10 people who listen to pop country are being diagnosed with anal retardation each day. Don't become another statistic. Don't bleed out your asshole. Stop listening to pop country and start tuning in to It Burns When I Pee.
Finally, thank you. Now go do your sister or something.
Hey, man. She is my cousin. Do you think I'm some kind of sicko?
Old Godzilla was hopping around Tokyo City like a big playground when suddenly Batman burst from the shade and hit Godzilla with a bat grenade. Godzilla got pissed and began to attack, but didn't expect to be blocked by Shaq, who proceeded to open up a can of Shaq Fu when Aaron Carter came out of the blue and he started beating up Shaquille O'Neal. Then they both got flattened by the Batmobile, but before he could make it back to the Batcave, Abraham Lincoln popped out of his grave and took an AK-47 out from under his hat, blew Batman away with a rat-a-tat-tat. But he ran out of bullets and he ran away because often this crime came to save the day. This is the ultimate showdown, ultimate destiny. Good guys, bad guys, and explosions as far as the eye can see. And only one will survive. I wonder who it will be. This is the ultimate showdown of ultimate destiny. Scruff McGruff took a bite out of crime, and then Shaq came back covered in a tire track. But Jackie Chan jumped out and landed on his back, and Batman was injured. injured and trying to get steady when Abraham Lincoln came back with a machete. But suddenly something caught his leg and he tripped. Indiana Jones took him out with his whip. Then he saw Godzilla sneaking up from behind. And he reached for his gun, which he just couldn't find, cause Batman stole it and he shot and he missed. And Jackie Chan deflected it with his fist. Then he jumped in the air and he did a somersault while Abraham Lincoln tried to pull faults on Optimus Prime. But they collided in the air, then they both got hit by a Care Bear stare. This is the ultimate showdown. Destiny could cast bad guys and explosions as far as the eye can see, and only one will survive. I wonder who it will be. This is the ultimate showdown. Angels sang out in an immaculate chorus. Down from the heavens descended Chuck Norris, who delivered a kick which could shatter bones into the crotch of Indiana Jones, who fell over on the ground, writhing in pain, as Batman changed back into Bruce Wayne. But Chuck saw through his clever disguise, and he crushed Batman's head in between his thighs. Then Gandalf the Grey and Gandalf the White and Monty Python and the Holy Grail's Black Knight and Benito Mussolini and the Blue Meanie and Cowboy Curtis and John B. the Genie, Robocop, the Terminator, Captain Kirk and Darth Vader, No Pan, Superman, every single Power Ranger, Bill S. Preston and Theodore Logan, Spock, the Rock, Doc Ock and Hulk Hogan all came out of nowhere lightning fast, and they kicked Chuck Norris in his cowboy ass. It was the bloodiest battle that the world ever saw, with civilians looking on a total loss. Raged on for a century, many lives were claimed, but eventually the champion stood. The rest saw the better, Mr. Rogers in a bloodstained sweater. This is the ultimate showdown, ultimate destiny. Good guys, bad guys, and explosions as far as the eye can see, and only one will survive. I wonder who it will be. This is the ultimate showdown.
All right, so we kind of caught you off guard with the Ultimate Showdown by Lemonhead, but that was for my sister Liz. Me and her have loved that song for like 2 years, and I've always wanted to play it on the show, and it's never really fit, but Ultimate Showdown, kick-ass song. You got to listen to it 4 or 5 times to really get the whole meaning of the song, but awesome stuff by Lemonhead. Check them out on MySpace. I want to remind everyone to donate to the JDRF. Go to our MySpace page, and you can click on the donation link. We've raised about $50 so far, and we need your help to... We want to raise at least $100. We will be taking donations until the day of the walk, which is September 13th. And if you didn't hear anything about that, you should go to our episode 28 with Joey Alcorn, and we have an interview with my friend Michelle, and discussing the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation. So what's coming up for It Burns When I Pee? And I'll tell you what, I'm not going to do another show without a host. I did this for a year with just me, and it's been a long time, and it's obviously a little dry, but we'll get a guest host on for the next show. And there will be a new newsletter coming out the first week of September. And if you're not on our email mailing list, send us a email at blake@itburnsandip.com, and we can get you on there and keep you in touch with everything going on with It Burns and IP. Episode 30, like I had mentioned before, is going to be the Hank Williams birthday special, and it's scheduled to be released on September 11th. It's going to be our second mini-P episode, and just want to remind everybody that Hank's birthday is on September 17th, so make sure on the 17th, you take a moment of silence and give homage to the man himself. Episode 31, we have scheduled to be released on September 25th. We currently do not have a guest lined up, but if you have a band or an artist that you want to hear interviewed on the show, let me know as soon as possible and see if I can get it lined up. Well, that's about all I got. I mean, damn, I zipped through the segments without Creepy Guy and Norma Jean. But I want to give a big thank you to Chelsea McBee again for being on the show. She is awesome, and her music is awesome, so you definitely want to check her out. I want to say thank you to Alabama, to Aaron, to Andy, and to Joshy P for helping with the lines for the show. And, of course, we have to thank Uncle Pee-wee, whoever he was. I really would like somebody to email me and tell me who that was that did that voicemail, because it was hilarious, and it was quite a surprise. It's probably the funniest one we've had. And, of course, I want to thank all the listeners out there all over the world for staying with us through good times and bad, through good shows and bad. But hopefully the music kept this show good. And, again, thank you to everybody. Good night. And don't forget, get your hank on.